You're listening to Utah Lake Facts, Fiction, and Fun.
Hello, and welcome back to the Utah Lake Facts, Fiction, and Fun podcast. This is Sam Brager, Outreach Coordinator for the Utah Lake Commission. And today in studio, I have here with us our Executive Director of the Commission, Eric Ellis. Eric, say hi, would you?
Hello, everyone.
So Eric is here today because you may have been hearing in the news recently about algae treatments that are happening at Utah Lake. And so we brought Eric on because he's been working with the Division of Water Quality and the other partners involved and the contractors who are doing this work. And so he's here to kind of provide us an overview of those treatments and help clarify some questions people have been asking about those treatments. So Eric, please tell us more about what's going on.
Sam, thanks so much for having me on today. We're excited. We have two really cool treatments taking place over the duration of this summer. Thanks to the Utah legislature, a year and a half ago, they appropriated some funds to explore some short-term solutions. We put that out for a request for proposal and selected two of those. The first one, CPRO, that's being implemented there at Lincoln Marina, they will be using three different products, kind of depending on the reaction and the environment of the marina. So they'll be using one product called SeaClear. This is an algicide, kind of a product that can remove the actual algae once it's there present in the marina. They also use Fosloc, and that is a clay-like substance that pulls phosphorus and nutrient out of the water column, effectively removing the food source for that cyanobacteria that may be present or prevents it from becoming present in that marina. It binds it up, pulls it down to the bottom of the lake bed, and then as it rests on the lake bed in the sediment, it can also absorb nutrients that we know are often present in that sediment bed. This is one of the reasons why when we have a lake, a windstorm on the lake, and that water becomes turbid, the lake sediment kind of rises up into the water column. As the lake starts to settle, that food or nutrient is present in the lake and occasionally allows for those blooms to take place. Fosloc would prevent that from happening where the treatments are taking place. And as a backup, CPRO also uses a product by the name of PAC-27, which is also an algicide and acts as kind of a double prevention method for making sure that we are not seeing algae blooms in these marinas this summer. The second company, Alpine Technical Services, is using a product by the name of EarthTech. This is taking place in the Linden Marina that a lot of you will have visited in recent past. It's very accessible. It's just down there on the east end of or west end of Linden. And that product as well, it's a recreational friendly product that's been certified by the EPA. And its purpose is to act as an algicide and to kind of stabilize the water for as many as 30 days, although they are able to treat bi-monthly is kind of their typical treatment regime, every 14 days or so. In both cases, these products, both at Linden and Lincoln Marinas, are safe to use with recreation taking place in a nearby area. The EarthTech is approved. In fact, both are approved for being used in drinking water sources. So definitely a safe product that allows for folks to come down and use our marinas, swim in those marinas, and enjoy their activities that they typically use down there at the lake.
Awesome. So I know we've talked in the past about the types of treatment, and that was a great explanation on the ones that CPRO is doing. I think you've mentioned to me in the past that algae treatment generally falls within three categories, mechanical, biological, or chemical, right? Could you help the listeners understand what those might look like? Because I know we received dozens of different companies with different ideas, various ways of trying to do this. So help them understand those three kind of categories of treatment and why we ended up selecting the two companies that we're working with.
Great question. In both cases, both CPRO and Alpine Technical Services, or ATS, are using kind of a combination between a chemical and a biological. Both products use a mix of those two solutions. We also looked at some mechanical treatments, and these were ones where what they would generally use is somewhat like a filter system that they pump lake water through, and it pulls out both nutrients and algae right out of the water, and then releases the clean algae-free water on the other side of that system. So those take the form of barges. We also had some interesting proposals that would use a sound frequency to be kind of toned to a point where it's actually just treats the algae just by having this sound emitted at a certain frequency nearby. Those can treat, the ones that we looked at could treat up to 50 acres. So one of the downsides is if we were to try to implement something like this, much like lots of these treatments, on a 97,000 acre lake, many of these great ideas become a little bit or a lot less feasible when you're looking at something at that scale.
So definitely something at that scale would be difficult. So where do we go from here? What's the future? What's the purpose behind testing out treatments like we are this summer?
I think the biggest reason why we're looking at these treatments is because we recognize that the demand for recreation at Utah Lake is going up quickly. When the commission does a good job, it means that perceptions are improving on the lake. People are starting to realize that it isn't the pollution-ridden lake that was kind of the perceived quality during the 50s and 60s when we had Geneva Steel down there. And so people are coming back to the lake and really enjoying what it has to offer. It's warmer. It's in our backyard. And it has an enormous surface area, 30 times the size of our neighboring canyon reservoirs. So people are coming out here, and we want them to have a good time. So during the interim right now, we're looking for short-term solutions that could take care of kind of these hot spots where the blooms are beginning. And in the long run, we're partnered with the Division of Water Quality looking for ways to reduce the nutrient loading into Utah Lake to the point that blooms are less frequent, they're smaller in magnitude, and stay for a shorter period of time when they do occur. We know that blooms take place just about in every water body in the state. We want to make sure that Utah Lake is not experiencing long, drawn-out, massive blooms going into the future. That becomes all the more relevant because we know that the valley is growing quickly and we're expected to double in population here in the next couple decades. So we really want to address this right now. These short-term solutions provide a fix temporarily that we can keep the lake in good shape while we're looking at that long-term, more meaningful solution.
The project that Eric mentioned, the Utah Lake Water Quality Study, has been ongoing for a couple of years, and there is information online that we'll include in the links for the podcast. Eric, our executive director, is a co-chair on that study with Erica Gaddis, who is the director of the Division of Water Quality. And so in the future, we hope to have both of them on here and discuss that water quality study in greater depth. But for now, we will include a link so you can learn more about that there. Eric, you mentioned briefly some of the scheduling that comes with these treatments. I think you mentioned maybe a 14-day period for one of them, but if you could just review that again, but help people understand what that's going to look like now. For instance, Lincoln Beach got its first treatment, I think, a couple of weeks ago now, right?
They did. So Lincoln Beach was treated a couple of weeks ago. Those folks are back again today, in fact, over today and tomorrow, where they'll be doing a retreatment of that. And similar type schedule at Linden Marina, where they will be out every 14 or 15 days throughout the summer, monitoring to be sure they're staying on top of the algae in the marina and making sure that all levels of the treatment is staying below the thresholds or the permit requirements for that particular treatment.
Awesome. And if somebody were to be at the marina when one of these treatments was occurring, what are they going to see? What does it look like when the treatments are happening?
Interesting question. When we had our first treatment over at Lincoln Marina, it was very impressive to see. They took photos of just before the treatment began, and just 4 hours after that treatment had begun, the water was clearer. It looked beautiful in there. I've been to that marina many times, and it looks similar to the rest of the lake, which is oftentimes a murkyish water. We learned to love it and enjoy it and not worry about the fact that it's a little murky. It's a shallow lake and it stirs up easy. But I was shocked to see how clear and beautiful the water became just hours after the treatment. So those that are present should expect to see slightly clearer or very clear water, and just to have the peace of mind to know that the marinas are free of the algae and that they're being monitored for that to be sure that they stay on top of it.
And how was the treatment being applied?
Both companies are doing it a little bit differently. Both are using a boat of some sort. At Lincoln Marina, treatment number one went out with an airboat, so it'll be noisy for anyone nearby. The other treatment there at Linden Marina, it's in a pretty calm area, so they'll be using just a non-motorized boat, something like a kayak or a small canoe, and they'll just be dispersing that product into the water as they kind of zigzag back and forth across the lake.
So, Eric, we've heard that there isn't going to be monitoring for algae blooms at the lake like there has been in the most recent years. So how does that play into this algae treatments and such?
Interesting question, Sam. We just got word from the director of water quality that a last-minute grant, one-time grant, was offered through EPA. That's the federal entity that oversees water and the quality of water throughout the U.S., and that will allow for at least some portion of monitoring to continue. This year, through the state budget reductions that were impacted, or everyone was impacted by, largely COVID-related, but also some taxing structures that were adjusted in this last legislative session, the funding for HAB monitoring across the state had been cut, and we were nervous to know that we wouldn't have that safety measure in place. Fortunately, we have permanent signage up at all of our main access points where boaters can review that information and get an idea of what they should be on the lookout for. Because with Utah Lake, it's a unique place. It's the area, or the surface area, is so large that oftentimes we will see small isolated blooms kind of on the periphery of the lake. And when people know what to look for, they can avoid that. So we're pushing for that know before you go type of awareness. And we're happy to hear that there will also be some monitoring so that we can have some scientific data to back up that kind of observational awareness as people are out on the lake.
So a lot of people we talk with about algae blooms are concerned about blooms, not only Utah Lake, but, you know, as you mentioned, it's a statewide issue. There were many water bodies last year that had algae blooms. What do you foresee for the future of Utah Lake as it pertains to algae blooms? Is this something that's only going to get worse? Is it something that is going to go away?
I don't think that blooms on Utah Lake or any of Utah's lakes are going to just disappear, not without a concerted effort to make improvements. We know that a number of our water bodies where blooms had become a big issue a decade or two ago, where careful planning went into the improvement of that lake, they proved to be successful. East Canyon Reservoir, Deer Creek Reservoir, while not the same as Utah Lake, saw some huge improvements when that careful planning went into place and they were able to implement nutrient reduction strategies. We're hopeful that Utah Lake can experience something similar to that. It's going to take lots of effort on our behalf. We know that it's going to require a reduction in the nutrient that comes from our wastewater, the nutrient that comes from stormwater and even agriculture. But we're confident that as we come to the end of this Utah Lake Water Quality Study, that we will understand the issues well enough that we can start to take some proactive improvements or make some proactive improvements to see a reduction as time goes on and especially to counter the population growth that we're seeing. Sam, the Utah Lake Commission really is pushing to raise the bar on protecting and enhancing water quality on the lake. We want recreationists to enjoy their time and be safe while out on the lake, and we want to make these changes last and be beneficial to future generations, and that's where we're aiming to go.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us today. We really appreciate your efforts in the water quality study and in getting these algae treatments going at the lake. For those listening, if you are interested in learning more about algae blooms or the treatments that are going on or have questions, our staff is always there, whether it's through social media or phone, email, in whatever way you'd like to get a hold of us. We'd love to help answer those questions further and help you have a great experience down at Utah Lake.
If you heard something you liked in this episode, please subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. While you're at it, take a second and share this episode with someone else you think would like it. Help us spread the word about the facts, fiction, and fun of Utah Lake.
You've been listening to Utah Lake, Facts, Fiction, and Fun. For more information and resources, visit utahlakecommission.org/podcast. Thanks for listening.